Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Compassion. You invite us into your way of forgiveness and peace. Lead us to love our enemies and transform our words and deeds to be like His through whom we pray, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading from Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf, or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us read, let us pray Psalm 119 responsively. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end.
Yes.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Beholding falsehood, give me life in your way.
Fulfill your promise to your servant, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good.
Behold,
glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. You've been paying attention to the Gospel readings for these past Sundays. You are probably getting a little bit weary of this Sermon on the Mount. We are so faithful to our church calendar, and this year we have the longest possible Epiphany season. We have 7 Sundays of Epiphany, so we get this Sermon on the Mount over and again. Jesus calling us with these challenging calls to pay attention to our relationships, because our relationships matter to God. This section of the Sermon on the Mount might be the most challenging to us. But then again, we've heard this all before. And maybe these verses hardly make us blink. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Yeah, that's nice. But we don't really think too deeply about actually trying to follow that. But then again, when we do take Jesus' words seriously, we know that these loving your enemy, turning the other cheek, that's really out of our reach. Turn the other cheek, sure, that just gets me treated like a doormat. Love your enemies. I was at a meeting this last week, and someone in the group, a gentleman, I don't know who he is, said, well, you notice that Jesus doesn't tell us that we have to like anyone. And I don't. That's one way to get around this verse, I guess. In the real world, it's impossible to apply these Sermon on the Mount verses to our lives. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't kidding. He is serious about these commands. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving us his vision of God's kingdom and is calling us to be a part of that kingdom. That's why we need to take these verses seriously. Through the centuries, Jesus has been criticized as kind of crazy talk. Too wacky for real life. And that's about right. Turning the other cheek and returning hatred with love is no way to get ahead in this world. In this world where only the strong survive, where you can only get ahead by watching out for number one, taking care of yourself first, this Sermon on the Mount doesn't make much sense. But then that's about this kingdom, about this world. Jesus isn't trying to modify the rules of the world. He's not trying to help us figure out how we can get as much out of this world and how to have the best life possible right now. And that's just the point. Jesus is turning everything upside down. He's calling the rules of this world into question at the same time that he's redeeming this world that he loves so much.
He calls into question the powers of the day by describing an entirely different way to relate to one another. Jesus is inviting us into relationships that are governed not by power, but by vulnerability that is grounded in love. To strike with the right hand on the right cheek, think about how that would work. If I'm going to hit, don't worry. If I'm going to hit with my right hand on the right cheek, it's going to be a backhanded slap. If I'm going to hit with my right hand to the left cheek, I couldn't slap, I would have to punch. So when Jesus says, well, he's referring to this slap on the right cheek, that's the kind of, not a punch, but a put down. That's the kind of slap that a master would give a slave, an oppressor to subjects, Romans to Jews, parents to children. It's a put down. It's easier to hit the left cheek with a fist of the right hand, and it's easier to hit the right cheek with the backhanded slap. So to turn the other cheek is to say to the oppressor, use your fist. Hit me as an equal, not as a put down. In that society, retaliation would have been suicide. But Jesus calls at least for a stance against humiliation. Only the poorest of the poor would have nothing but an outer garment to give as collateral for a loan. And when the powerless couldn't repay a debt, the creditor hauled them into court to wring out payment with the last possession by very legal means. And even though the powerless couldn't change the system, they could take a stand for human dignity. If they surrendered both shirt and coat, they would stand in court naked. And in Jewish society, nakedness was taboo. And the shame fell not on the one who was naked, but the shame fell on the one who caused the nakedness or who was viewing the nakedness. So Jesus calls for this absurd response as a nonviolent protest to humiliation. Stand naked in court. Who is shamed by that, but by the person who hauled you into court then? This command to walk the second mile, made in the context of the Roman practice of limiting forced labor that soldiers could demand of the citizens in an occupied country. There were mile markers along the highway, and a soldier carrying a pack of 50 or 60 pounds could recruit a citizen, anybody walking by, to carry his pack for 1 mile. If he would go over that mile, that soldier would be punished. There would be severe punishment for the soldier. So again, the Jew protesting humiliation by being forced to carry the soldier's pack would say, oh, kind sir, let me carry your pack the second mile. And the soldier would have to beg, no, 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 please give me back my pack. Don't carry it anymore. So the oppressor is placed in the position of begging with the oppressed. In Jesus' upside-down kingdom, we're talking about not just justice, but also love and light, life. Strength eventually fails, and power corrupts, and the survival of the fittest just leaves way too many bodies on the ground. It's only love that transforms. It's only love that redeems and creates new life in the kingdom. Martin Luther King said one time, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." That's what Jesus is inviting us into, a kingdom of light and love. And this last line in this passage, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect," that sums up the whole Sermon on the Mount. Easy, right? Be perfect, just like God. A command from Jesus. The word that Jesus uses there, telos, perfect, doesn't mean something so much as morally perfect, like never doing wrong, but it means something that is grown up, mature, and is now reached its perfect end. Think, for example, of a fruit tree that when it's perfected, when it's perfect, it has grown strong, it is tall, it's ready to produce fruit. It can produce fruit if it's perfect. If it has reached telos, its goal, its perfection. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. Not simply commanding something of us, but commanding something that's already in us. Jesus knows that we have more to give, that we can and do more than we can settle for, that we absolutely can make a difference in this world by simply being ourselves, by being who we are called to be as the people of God, being who we are created to be. We are being made perfect. We are perfect. We are the beloved children of God. We aren't called just to survive in this world, but to make a difference. Make a difference by sharing that abundant life that Jesus has given us. And Jesus is serious about what he promises. He actually died and rose again to show us that it's true. And we have the potential to change the world by living the way that Jesus has called us to live, this new and different way of being in the world that is God's kingdom, by living in this upside down world kingdom of Jesus. This is how his vision is for us. And if we look back on that whole Sermon on the Mount, this is what Jesus' vision for us. And he knows and he calls us and says that it is possible for us to live in this kind of kingdom where there is no anger, no name calling, where there's peace at the altar, no lust, no adultery, no oaths, no violence, giving to all who need to borrow, love of enemies, no retaliation, sharing what we have. This is the kingdom that God has called us to be a part of. And we are a part of that kingdom because of God's grace. It's not something that we've done. It's what God has done. Living in that grace, freely given, that's what makes it possible for us to be in God's kingdom and makes that a reality right now, right here, in our lives. Amen.